Science and Technology. Botany. Blooming wonderful. The female sex organs of flowers have a remarkable influence on fertilisation.
Any biologically aware parent who started talking about the birds and the bees will have realised halfway through that what they're really discussing is flowers. Bees carry pollen grains from one plant to another, enabling fertilisation. Birds digest and excrete the resulting seeds, allowing new blooms to grow. The role that flowers themselves play in their own reproduction, however, remains imperfectly understood. In a new paper published recently in Embo Reports, Mizuta Yoko at Nagoya University and her colleagues unveiled the secrets of this process with unprecedented detail. Among the revelations that arose from her 13-year-long investigation was the degree of control that a flower's female sex organs have over the fertilisation process. Not only do they have the power to attract male reproductive cells, but they can also repel them once fertilisation has begun. The vocabulary of reproduction is, fortunately for parents, the same across the animal and plant kingdoms. A male reproductive cell is a sperm. A female reproductive cell is an egg. When the two meet under the right conditions, an embryo forms. Such conditions, always tricky to engineer, are even more complex for flowering plants as their sperm cells cannot move. To overcome this limitation, their sperm cells are packaged in microscopic grains of pollen. When the wind blows, say, or a bee visits, these pollen grains can then come into contact with another flower's pistil, the rod-like structure typically located in its centre that contains the ovules, each of which in turn contains an egg cell. To penetrate the surface of the pistil and reach a flower's eggs, a grain of pollen must create a pollen tube. The tube grows out of the pollen much like a seedling emerges from a seed. But if several pollen tubes converge on one ovule, a phenomenon known as polytubey, the offspring may contain too many copies of the paternal DNA and not form viable seeds. Yet polytubey rarely happens, despite the large numbers of pollen tubes and ovules involved. A typical fertilisation event of Arabidopsis thaliana, botanist's favoured guinea pig, involves an average of 60 ovules and pollen tubes, each of which somehow finds a one-to-one match. To better understand why things run so smoothly, Dr. Mizuta and colleagues developed a new microscope technique to observe inside a living pistil of A. thaliana in real time. Perfecting their technique took 3 years of painstaking, repetitive labour. Getting good footage took 10 more. The results are the first such videos capturing the moment of individual pollen tubes within a pistil. It has been worth the wait. In previous studies, researchers have shown that ovules send chemical signals which attract pollen tubes. These attractive signals were thought to disappear once an ovule is fertilised. The first thing the research by Dr. Mizuta and her team confirms is that they do indeed vanish. It also adds valuable information about where and when fertilisation occurs. For example, they observed that pollen tubes fertilise a pistil's ovules more or less at random, rather than in an orderly fashion, from the top of the pistil to the bottom, as some had hypothesised. The videos also revealed a new aspect of the mechanism that blocks polytubey. When Dr. Mizuta and her team looked through their videos, they observed some pollen tubes seemingly trying to enter an ovule before suddenly turning away. That led the team to conclude that the ovule is capable of repelling unwanted pollen tubes once fertilisation has begun. They suspect that this repulsion arises when proteins in the ovule come into contact with receptors on the pollen tube, or perhaps vice versa, somehow inducing it to change direction. Many will be watching the team's work closely. As important crops like rice, wheat and corn all reproduce in a similar way to A. thaliana, says Mark Johnson, a cellular biologist at Brown University who was not involved in the research, a better understanding of the mechanisms involved could help farmers boost future yields. Dr. Mizuta and her colleagues hope to keep expanding that understanding.